Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend, my friends. Did I mention beer? Oh, yes. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Great selection of soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts every day. The pickle bar is unbelievable. You got high school football tonight. You got college football, Penn State tomorrow at home. Four of the next five at home, by the way. NFL coming up this weekend, including another Titanic Steeler matchup. And all that coming up this weekend. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And don't forget, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, is hosting a press conference at this hour. Last I checked, it had not started yet.
Yeah, I'm working on clips from that, so as soon as I get them, I'll let you know.
Why don't we just carry it live?
I'm working on clips from that. As soon as I get them, I'll let you know. Access to clips, a little bit easier than access to live at the moment.
I see. Okay. Well, he is. He has to do this. He has to get up in front of everybody and talk. That's what he's doing. And this is not a situation where he needs a press conference to get up there and save his job. That is not what this is about. If what he says is true, that he never saw the Ray Rice video until TMZ, okay? In other words, I'm not lying about it. Okay, his job is safe, right? If you get up there and he told a bald-faced lie about it, no, I never saw it, right? Now, at that point, you know, because I am not big. I'm getting sick and tired, personally, of every time something happens, well, heads have to roll, somebody's got to go. Hey, just step back for a second. Right? There are certain situations where that's true. Not every situation is like that, right? Not every situation. And that's, you know. Now Kevin wants heads to roll, but that's
no,
just his nature.
Not this particular time. I don't think that's necessary right now. Now, like you said, if we find out later that he had access to the video and didn't look at it, or if he saw the video and said he didn't, then that's a different animal.
Right. At that point, I mean, if he didn't see it, he didn't see it. And by all accounts, there are a lot of people around him that believe him. So, like, and I think they finally have their sea legs on this thing, which allows him to have a press conference, because they've done these, essentially by putting him on a specific list, suspending them with pay and letting the legal system play out. I think they finally have their sea legs as to how to handle it. I think one of the questions he has to answer is why they didn't come up with that solution and until now. Because obviously over the years, there have been things legally that have happened to players, and you wonder why the league didn't have a policy like that in place before. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Steve. I'm thinking that Roger Goodell will go into today's press conference extremely well-rehearsed.
He's had plenty of time to practice.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they went through at least a simulated press conference where somebody was chosen to be Mr. Media or Mrs. Media and fired questions at him, real hard balls, videotaped it, and then worked on how could you answer this question better or differently, or is that a good answer? And so that when he comes in today, I think he'll be ready to go. There's no reason why he wouldn't be, because there is, as you suggest, there's a lot at stake.
The credibility. There is, But you know what, Bob? I'm getting sick and tired of watching well-rehearsed press conferences. I want to see somebody get up there and just be honest with me.
Well, there's
I mean, if I'm watching a well-rehearsed press conference where it's carefully worded all the time, mm-hmm. Then what the hell are you hiding?
Well, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I really don't. Having, and you've done quite a few press conferences in your day, I've been part of them, and I have too a little bit around here. But you have to be ready to answer, and knowing that every word you say will be parsed for subtlety and hidden meanings and all of that. So, and everything can be double-checked or triple-checked. So you can't be off the cuff. You can't be just off the top of my head, here's my answer, because there's too much at stake. And again, well-rehearsed doesn't mean dishonest or untrue. It means getting as much information out in the form that you want it out.
But I understand that part. I don't want parsed words.
Well,
I don't want parsed words. I just want you to tell me what the deal is. What's the truth?
I think
and you can rehearse that in such a way. But when you start, I'm going to say it in a certain way,
right?
And you say, because I'm sitting there now, as a cynic, now saying, okay, why'd you say it like that? I mean, what are you hiding?
Sure. And I think that the media goes into it with that. What is Roger Goodell hiding? What is he not saying? And they're not as much in certain circles interested in the truth as they are in a gotcha moment, though.
It depends on who it is, yeah. I mean, it depends on who it is.
And I think, Steve, and I'm like you, I'm sick and tired of some person in the media who's never covered something all of a sudden coming up wanting to get that gotcha moment, get that scalp, raise those ratings, get more money. Let's just find out what happened. There's easy ways to ask. Ask the right question. Right. Did you ever see the tape, Mr. Goodell? Yes or no?
Right.
There we go.
Right. And I don't want news people covering sports, and I don't want sports people covering news. Okay? I just don't, because if you watch any news person interview a sports person, oh my goodness, you sit back and go, oh, what the heck? And just like I don't want Jim Nance interviewing President Obama, okay? I want people where it's their area of expertise to handle the Q&A thing. That's why I don't want news people covering sports. I don't want sports people covering news.
Now, wait, on Jim Nance. Now, he could cover Obama because of the golfing aspect of the whole thing. Jim Nance does the Masters.
Yeah,
he could do that, but your point is well taken. Yeah, it's a whole different mindset between sports and news. The trouble is we're now making – sports has become news, Steve. It's become the lead story. It's become the things that drives the rating, because you get the crossover effect.
And Steve, if you would like, I believe I have the commissioner's opening comments, if you would like those.
Please.
At our best, the NFL sets an example that makes a positive difference. Unfortunately, over the past several weeks, we have seen all too much of the NFL doing wrong. That starts with me. I said this before, back on August 28th, and I say it again now. I got it wrong in the handling of the Ray Rice matter, and I'm sorry for that. I got it wrong on a number of levels, from the process that I led to the decision that I reached. But now I will get it right and do whatever is necessary to accomplish that. First, I don't expect anyone just to take my word. Last week, I asked former FBI Director Robert Mueller to conduct an independent investigation to answer the questions raised about our process in reviewing Ray Rice's conduct. I pledge that Director Mueller will have full cooperation and access. We all look forward to his report and findings. I promise you that any shortcomings he finds in how we dealt with the situation will lead to swift action. The same mistakes can never be repeated. We will do whatever it is necessary to ensure that we are thorough in our review process and that our conclusions are reliable. We will get our house in order first. Second, and most importantly, these incidents demonstrate that we can use the NFL to help create change, not only in our league, but in society with respect to domestic violence and sexual assault. We are taking a number of steps. On August 28th, I said that the entire NFL would receive comprehensive information and resources and support systems for victims on domestic violence and sexual assault. We will re-examine, enhance, and improve all of our current programs, and then we'll do more. Earlier today, each NFL club and all our league office locations received information about advocacy and support organizations in their communities. In addition, our teams and league staff, everyone, will participate in education sessions starting in the next month, followed by training programs. These programs are being developed by a top group of experts. Some of them were announced earlier in the week. We will continue to identify and add expertise to our team. And we will ask the NFL Players Association to help us develop and deliver these programs in the most effective way. Third, we recognize that domestic violence and sexual assault exist everywhere, in every community, economic class, racial and ethnic group. It affects all of us. These are problems we are committed to addressing. But we cannot solve them by ourselves. Law enforcement, the criminal justice system, social service organizations, and families are the cornerstones to addressing this problem. For our part, we can add, and we will do more. To begin, we have entered into long-term partnership with two leading national organizations, the National Domestic Violence Hotline and the National Sexual Violence Resource Center. The hotline received an 84% increase in their call volume just last week. They did not have the resources to reach even half of those calls. They need our help, and we are providing it. Fourth, we strongly condemn and will punish behavior that is totally unacceptable. Domestic violence, including child abuse, sexual assault, irresponsible ownership or handling of firearms, the illegal use of alcohol or drugs. These activities must be condemned and stopped through education and discipline. Our standards and the consequences of falling short must be clear, consistent, and current. They must be implemented through procedures that are fair and transparent. This is a central issue today. I'm here now because our rules, policies, and procedures on personal conduct failed to ensure that this high standard is met. But I want to make it clear, these are very complex issues. Our country has a legal system that everyone needs to respect. When there is evidence of misconduct by anyone in the NFL, we need to carefully consider when to act and on what evidence. Everyone deserves a fair process. You know, I feel passionately that working in the NFL in any capacity is a privilege, something we must earn every day and must never take for granted. The vast majority of players, coaches, owners, and employees in the NFL stand tall, not only for their role in the game, but for what they do in their communities. To get all this right, We will bring together our players and their union representatives, coaches, owners, and outside experts who can help us set the right standards and identify the right procedures. I have discussed these challenges with the Players Association Executive Director, Demoris Smith. He shares my view that domestic violence and sexual assault have no place in the NFL. He and I will meet next week to bring together experts to help us establish and live up to the standards that our fans deserve and that we set for ourselves. I will be asking these experts to examine all current NFL policies related to employee and player conduct and discipline. They will address how to balance due process rights for those accused with the need to hold our personnel to the highest standards. They should also consider the current system for determining violations, including my role in the process. There will be changes to our personal conduct policy. I know this because we will make it happen. Nothing is off the table. Let me say it again. We will implement new conduct policies. They will have a set of clear and transparent rules for league and club personnel, owners, and players. My goal is to complete this by the Super Bowl. Football and the NFL have always changed and improved. We drive changes in the game through our competition committee. It reviews and updates the rules that govern the game on the field. Through this process of evaluation and reform, we keep the game competitive, entertaining, fair, and most importantly, do everything we can to protect our players on the field from injury. We go to enormous lengths to make sure players, coaches, officials, fans, our broadcast partners fully understand our playing rules and how they are enforced. That must now be our model when it comes to personal conduct. So, like the competition committee and other league committees, I'm establishing a conduct committee to review these new rules in the months and years to come and ensure that we are always living with the best practices. There is no reason we cannot be as transparent and as effective on these issues as we are with the game on the field. I believe in accountability. I understand the challenges before me, and I will be held accountable for meeting them. Every day, so many of our players, coaches, and staffs are doing tremendous things in their communities. I couldn't be more proud of how they're using the opportunity to help make a positive difference. Today, I ask everyone that is part of the NFL to join me in making positive and significant changes going forward. I'll take your questions.
Kevin has several. All right. Bottom of the hour, we're going to take a break. Then we'll come back. We also have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. The commissioner, to his credit, at the very beginning, said, look, I made a mistake on the Ray Rice thing, which he has said before, by the way. But still, people respect that.
Very smart move.
Yeah, people respect that. They respect that you get up there and say, well, you know, I did, but there was no but. He says, look, I hit a foul ball. I'm never going to do that again. Experience means something. And I respected how he handled that opening statement. As long as he never saw the tape, he's going to be just fine to be the commissioner 10, 15 years from now. We'll take a break, then we'll come back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Attention, Central Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors September New Ford Truck Sale. Pick from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to $9,000.
That's right, $9,000.
Choose from over 100 F-150s, the number one selling truck for 37 consecutive years. SMC has over 100 new F-150s starting as low as $22,859. Sunbury Motors has 25 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to historic lows starting at $19,890.
Is it done there?
Take $8,500 off new Expeditions and up to $9,000 off new 2015 Super Duty trucks. Every new vehicle is clearly marked with the lowest prices of the year, and financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months is available on many models. Hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza during this unprecedented September new truck sale. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for almost a century. Hurry before someone gets your new truck.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So Kevin finally had a chance to ask Roger Goodell a question, and he asked why Jerome...
I just simply said, could Jerome Bettis be mandated to be put into the Hall of Fame, please? I didn't get an answer. I was very upset, Bob.
Well, he said something about making a mistake or something.
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
I didn't understand it.
I don't know exactly what it was, but I was very, very disappointed by the fact that I didn't know. There's actually a lot of things he was asked about over the last few moments after making those opening statements, and we'll get to those throughout the rest of the show here on the Steve Jones Show. Matter of fact, I do have one available right now. When asked about Adrian Peterson specifically, here's what the commissioner had to say about that.
Well, I'm disappointed in what Adrian Peterson was involved with. We want to see the facts, but I think what we see so far is tragic. It's hard to look at. I have two daughters who are 13. That's very difficult to see. And I think what we have to do is allow those facts to proceed.
So that was on Adrian Peterson there specifically. One of the things I thought that was interesting, Bob, was when the commissioner talked about what they can do from here on out. And one of the things he talked about was funding the domestic violence hotline.
The hotline received an 84% increase in their call volume just last week. They did not have the resources to reach even half of those calls.
So my impression from that, Bob, was that the commissioner intends to form a partnership there and maybe even partially fund the hotline to be able to expand. I thought that was an interesting approach to all of this.
It gets you instant credibility in the domestic violence agencies, who have some of whom have been not very kind to the commissioner so far in leveling criticism against him. So he gets them, so to speak, inside the tent, and if he comes across with them as genuine and supportive, all the better for them.
I know Steve liked two of the comments that Roger Goodell started with, and that was one of them.
At our best, the NFL sets an example that makes a positive difference. Unfortunately, over the past several weeks, we have seen all too much of the NFL doing wrong. That starts with me.
I know that's one of the comments that you mentioned in the last half hour, Steve, that you liked about it. And we have reestablished connection with
the second.
Yep,
there?
Yep. I was just going to say we've reestablished connection with the Sunbury Motors.
You lost me there for a second?
Yep. Now
hello?
I've got you. I think we've got you back now in the Sunbury Motors studio.
Yes. Okay, guys.
We just went through one of the pieces of audio where Roger Goodell, at the very beginning, says, "It starts with me," and I know that's one of the things you liked about what he had to say today.
Well, I think it is. Although you have to take the echo out for me, it'll help me out a little bit.
There, how's that?
No, there we go. It's a little bit better.
There we go.
That helps me out a little bit in terms of the ability to concentrate. Yeah.
When you're hearing yourself in a 3-second delay, it's a little awkward.
It does allow you to grade yourself. That's not how you're doing. Look, he came out right away. And again, the bottom line to me is simple. If he never saw the tape and he didn't know it was in the building, he's fine.
I think it was a wise strategy to lead with that mea culpa so that you diffuse the critics right away, because now any questions...
hotlines and so forth?
Yeah.
That's really important that they do something like that.
Sure, it sends a message.
It sends a message. And at the same time, I think now that they have finally found for the first time, and you can criticize them for not having a policy in place before, but I think they finally found for the first time a balance between respecting the legal system and then what to do with the player on the team. And this list that they've come up with, essentially suspended with pay, is what it is. Okay, is that they have now found a balance where, okay, we respect the consumer and we're going to respect the system and not place that individual. We're still going to pay them because they're presumed innocent until proven guilty, but we need the legal process to play out. They finally have found that balance, right? It took a few times, but they found the balance. I think moving forward, you can expect to see this be a consistent way for them to take care of it.
You know, you got to go back and think about what the NFL really is and what it's the management of the NFL is. I'm sure 20 years ago, Steve and Kevin, they never thought that in the year 2014 they would see themselves being part of the judicial system, judging and making adjudications about the off-field behavior of players. You know, they're all about competition. So, you know, things obviously went on years before, but they felt it wasn't their role, and they had that mindset. You know, they're not the legal system. But all of a sudden, times have changed. Media has changed. People's sensitivity is much different than it was in the old days, where a lot of the behavior was sort of kept exceedingly quiet, never mentioned, and was the players, the teams manipulated the media to showcase talent but also hide problems.
Well, here's another part, though, Bob. Part of this is actually on Roger Goodell, because when he took the job, he was very point blank about being somebody who wanted to impose discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That this was part of his platform for being the commissioner of the NFL. And that now has come back, where I think the realization has hit him that he can't be judge and jury on everything, that there is actually a legal system in place that actually is the judge and jury, and all they can do is to, look, I can suspend a player, I can do so with pay, and let this play out, because there's a higher authority than me when it comes to dealing with this.
And, Steve, another aspect of this is, although he has the title of commissioner of the NFL, he has to account to all the team owners. And
right,
they really control, and we don't, and none of the team owners seem to be out front on this issue or outspoken in favor of the steps that the commissioner announced today. And I think there's reasons for that. And so we don't know what has been going on behind the scenes between the commissioner and the various owners. And it sounds like there's some divergence of opinions on how things should be handled. Again, we're talking about millions of dollars at stake, whether to suspend with pay or without pay, as one example.
Well, I think suspending with pay is the right way to go, because guess what you avoid?
Okay? A grievance from the NFL Players Association, among other things.
And you also avoid a lawsuit from the player.
Sure.
Well, I didn't do this. I was found not guilty, and you didn't pay me? I lost my contract?
Yeah, and a year off my
point?
Career. Absolutely.
Okay. Right. So in other words, you suspend with pay, there's no way to go back and say, well, hey, we paid you. We just didn't play you.
One of the questions with that suspension with pay, though, Steve, is because there is a compensation cap. What do you do about that when you're a star running back, hypothetically, who's $10 million a year is now being paid but suspended, and you need to get a running back, and you're up against the cap? Will the NFL allow that team to go over the cap to get the running back on the team or not?
Right.
These are the kinds of things I'm sure the owners in the background are thinking about.
Well, of course, and you're absolutely right, Bob. There's also, but there's another part, and from the great philosophical movie, Liar, Liar.
Yes.
Philosophical. Yeah. There's something new. I never heard it called that before, but okay.
Okay. There's a point where he can't tell a lie,
oh, no.
which is in the middle of it, and the secretary hands him the phone and says, basically, Snake is in trouble again, and he grabs the phone and he says, stop breaking the law! Okay? So if they're worried about that, I would tell my players, look, stop getting in trouble.
It's actually pretty simple when you think about it.
Again, whoever thought the movie Liar Liar would be quoted
in the Steve Jones Show?
But it actually brings with it, though, a certain philosophy. Stop messing up,
Steve. Let me offer this as an example. I have a friend, and you and Kevin know who it is, who's in the NFL. After a game, this team from the Midwest provides chauffeurs and cars to make sure that every player gets home safely and doesn't have to drive, as one example of what goes on in the big time good teams, because they're worried about certain issues coming that are easily preventable by having a designated driver, let's say.
Well, that's intelligent, because look, so many times, especially in the team playing, you know, in years gone by, they'd have a few pops in the plane flying back. They're exhausted. They just played a game, the whole thing. You get off the plane and...
Or you go out to a place to have a dinner after the game is over, and everybody's patting you on the back and buying you a alcoholic beverage, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there are drivers now that the NFL, the team... make sure that all the players have. And the other part, Steve,
smart,
and Kevin, is it's been alluded to in this, but every team has at least a director of security and several assistants with law enforcement backgrounds. Usually the director of security on a team is a retired FBI agent, top of the line kind of people. And they work with the players on this. The trouble is you can't babysit them 24/7, 365.
No. That's exactly right. You're talking about 53 people. I mean, here at Penn State, they added 10 walk-ons this week.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State's up to 129 players on this team.
And there are 129.
120.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they're all different personalities. As I pointed out yesterday, the NFL's like a cross-section of anything. Okay, you have introverts, you have extroverts, you have people that know how to handle their money, people that don't. You have those who are loyal and dedicated. You have those who have, you know, no more, whatever. Okay?
Sure.
They're a cross-section of anything else. Now, I thought Kevin's question to the commissioner about why isn't Jerome Bettis in the Hall of Fame, I thought that really wasn't the right moment or the right time.
No, but when else are you going to have an opportunity to ask the commissioner a question?
And I thought his answer of 3.9 yards of carry doesn't get it done was appropriate. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. The commissioner was asked at one point, at any point did he consider resigning?
I understand when people are critical of your performance, but we have a lot of work to do. That's my focus.
Simple. I mean, I know I'm often asked, did Kevin ever consider... No, I'm just kidding.
And no, my focus is on this show and, you know, and what happens later on tonight. So, no, he actually prefaced that comment by saying,
on
no, he did
show.
Not consider it.
Mm. On this show? You spend most of your time worrying about your fantasy team.
Yeah, but I worry about it on this show.
That's right.
How come you suspended Ben for four games?
I'm not even getting into that. I'm not the only one that feels that way.
You know, Steve,
I know you and Sean Carey. I got it.
Look,
the commissioner is, he has to do this, and he has to stand up there, and he has to answer as many questions as possible. You can't cut the press conference short. You can't say, okay, you've had enough or anything like that. Maybe if they get to 4:30, maybe at that point, okay, guys, a couple more questions.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of get control over it there. But you do have to take this out. When the league has been under fire like this, there's 1,600 players in the league, okay? The other 1,595 are going about their work and their business, okay? But five have dominated the headlines, above all, for all the wrong reasons. Again, if he never saw the tape and he didn't know the tape was in the building, he's fine. Okay? That means he didn't lie and he took care of business.
In the
beginning of the press conference, he took responsibility. People respect that. He wants to donate money to help out domestic abuse hotlines. Okay? People want to see stand-up people with leadership. That's what they want, okay? They don't want you hiding in the office. They don't want you hiding behind others. They don't want a spokesman out there for you, and they don't want you playing golf. They want you to lead, okay?
No question.
They want you to lead, okay? And if you lead, okay, maybe it's not the same philosophy you have, but they will respect your ability to at least get up there and attempt to lead. They'll respect that every time. Okay, maybe your solution and his or her solution don't match up, but you respect the fact they get up there and show some guts and lead. He's at least getting up there today after being in a disappearing act for 2 weeks and now is trying to seize back the moment here and show leadership. People will respect leadership and the truth.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.